About a decade ago, there was a reality TV show called Temptation Island. So sad that I missed the whole thing. But anyway, Temptation Island was one of those reality shows, and they would have four married couples travel to a Caribbean island. And there they would, their relationship and the strength of their relationship would be tested. On the island, the couples were introduced to eligible singles and then separated from their partners until the final day. Aren't you glad you missed that show as well? Okay. The object was, of course, to see if they loved each other, to remain faithful, and if they were able to overcome temptation. The object for singles was to be able to tempt the couples. Now, I'm glad that that show is no longer on TV, but I have to tell you that just because the TV show isn't on doesn't mean that we don't face temptation. We do not need to travel to a Caribbean island to face temptation. We live on Temptation Planet, okay? That's where we live. Temptation is something every one of us faces every day. I'll give you a couple examples. You could probably fill in a few more. We are tempted sometimes to speak our mind when we should bite our tongue. We are tempted sometimes to spend more money than we have. We are tempted to find satisfaction in things or wrong things. Not to mention, we're tempted by greed, lust, anger, jealousy, unforgiveness, hate, and it goes on and on and on. And just in case you're sitting there thinking that temptation is not a problem for you, let me remind you that pride comes before the fall. Okay? We all face temptation, and we ought to be honest with ourselves. Today, we're in part five of our Got Questions sermon series. If you have missed a sermon, these sermons do become available on our website, and so I would encourage you to just go on there and go under Ministries, click on Sermons, and you'll find some. I don't know if last week's is up yet. Sometimes the putter-upper is a little bit slow, but anyway, that's where we are. Our question today, if you've not figured it out yet, is how can I overcome temptation? It's important to know that while every one of us is tempted, there's a way or multiple ways to overcome. I invite you to turn to our scripture today, which happens to be in the book of James. And it is a very short portion of scripture, but I will make up for it later. Trust me on that, okay? But beginning in James chapter 1 with verse 13, James says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Okay? So, James is saying, and I want us to understand this, first of all, God does not tempt us. Secondly, temptation in and of itself is not sin. And that's very important to our theological understanding. Because in this message, I'm going to show you that Jesus was tempted. And Jesus was sinless. So it's not temptation that is sin. It is acting on that temptation. And James says that when we're tempted, and we're dragged away and we're enticed, and that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin unless we overcome it. And so today I want to share with you three responses to the question, how can I overcome temptation? You ready? Your outline is in your bulletin. Answer number one, we can overcome temptation with the power of God. We can overcome temptation with the power of God. Let me show you. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So by the power of God, we can overcome temptation. He promises here that He will provide a way out. That word in phrasing in the original language speaks of providing an escape route. Okay, the image is perhaps an army that is up against the wall with no way of escape, and there's a mountain pass that one can escape danger. What Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians is that when we're tempted, we can rely on the power of God to provide a way out, literally a way out of defilement, if you will. We do not need to give in to temptation. And we can trust the power of God to help us to find a way out. And we need to understand that the way out is not a way of surrender to the temptation, but it is allowing the power of God, the Lord Almighty, to be victorious in our lives. Now, James says that God doesn't tempt anybody. The tempter is who? Satan, absolutely. He is the great tempter. He is a deceiver. The scripture says he is a father of lies. And there are several things that he tries to deceive us into believing. He'll say to us, just once won't hurt. Just once. What's it going to hurt? Or he'll say, everybody does it, right? And then after we give in to temptation, he'll say, well, now that you've ruined your life, you are beyond God's grace, and so you might as well just enjoy sinning. Pretty common, right? We know what his plan of attack is. We know his strategy. And we can rely on the power of God. There's a sheep rancher, a woman by the name of Lexi Fowler, and she had a problem with coyotes killing her sheep. And she tried all kinds of things. She tried odor sprays. She tried electric fences. She tried all kinds of things. She slept with her sheep in the summer. She placed battery-operated radios near them where there was constant sound. She corralled them at night, herded them by day, but this southern Montana rancher lost scores of coyotes every year. And then she discovered, of all things, a llama. Yes, we've seen llamas at the zoo. They're kind of funny looking and strange, and one would think that they're not very good at defending anything. But the truth is that a llama is not afraid of anything. when they see something, they put their head up and they walk straight to it. To the coyote, that is considered aggressive behavior, and they won't have anything to do with a llama. Coyotes are opportunists, and llamas take that opportunity away. Apparently, the llama knows what the scripture says: resist the devil, and he will flee from you. My friends, the moment that we sense an attack, and the moment that we find ourselves being tempted, we can fully rely upon the power of God, who promises us by his word a way of escape. Look for that way. Look for that mountain pass, if you will, and then choose to take it. Response number two. We can overcome temptation with the word of God, not only by the power of God, but with the word of God. Here's where I make up for the short scripture. Jesus was tempted. And Jesus was tempted, and I'm going to show you that he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. But it says when Jesus, it says then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Very important for us to look and see in that passage of Scripture that Jesus quoted the Word of God, had the Word, the power, the dynamic power of the Word. Now, I want you to understand something. Do you think Jesus was really tempted? Really tempted? How about this? Imagine that we all fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and somebody offered us a piece of bread, okay? Would you be tempted? Sure you would. And certainly Jesus in all of his humanity was tested as well. He was tempted to give in. But in the face of temptation, Jesus victoriously overcame that temptation. And in each of these instances, he overcame by the word of God. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. And I think this is important for us to understand. We might get the idea, well, you know, this was the kind of temptation that Jesus had, but we're all tempted differently, okay? But the scripture does tell us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Remember that. He experienced every kind of temptation that you and I experience. Now, let me talk a little bit about that temptation, because basically the enemy attacks us in one of three ways. And if we know his strategy, we have a better success rate in overcoming his temptation. In John's epistle, chapter 2, it says this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and here's what the scripture says, and I have them numbered for you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. It's very important for us to understand Satan's strategy. And when Satan comes to us, there are three ways that he tempts us. He tempts us through the lust of the flesh, through the lust of the eyes, and through the pride of life. And I want you to know that there's nothing new under the sun. He has relatively no new strategy. He just continually trips us up on the same ones. And here we go. Look all the way back to the first sin as it entered the world. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, I have taken that scripture, and I broke it down for you on another slide, for you to see the same strategy. There it is. The tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And then the word says, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Again, the strategy of sin goes all the way back to chapter 3 in Genesis when sin entered the world. And the scripture in Genesis tells us that. John tells us in his first epistle. And we can even see that if we look at the temptation of Jesus. And I'll give you excerpts, okay? It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What is that? It is the lust of the flesh. That's exactly what it is. In Matthew's gospel, it says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Look, he says, and see, okay? The lust of the eyes. And then finally, in Matthew 8 and 9, he says the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will give you all of this if you will bow down and worship me. The pride of life. The same kind of temptation that you and I face every day. And Jesus was victorious. Jesus overcame. His method of overcoming temptation was the Word of God. How do you think we can overcome temptation? Not that hard. The Word of God, right? The Word of God. It's important for us. Scripture, the psalmist tells us that we hide our word, his word in our heart, that we will not sin against him. The Word of God helps us to understand truth. It is the truth. And it's important for us to know the Word. One of Satan's strategies is always to twist the Word of God. He did that with Eve. He does that with Jesus. And he does that with us. And he tries to make us believe that it won't hurt. It's not hurting anybody. Everybody does it. No. That's what he believes. That's what he teaches us to believe. Unfortunately, many times we fall into temptation. And sin never fulfills what it promises. It never does. We think it will give us satisfaction. We think it will give us great and wonderful things that God doesn't want us to enjoy. And it always brings destruction and guilt and shame. And Satan never tells you that when he tempts you in the first place. But it always ends up that way. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to gather as believers and study the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God regularly. If we're not, we are opening ourselves up for attack, because the Word of God is powerful and dynamic in our lives. In Romans, Paul says that we should not conform to the pattern of this world. That's pretty much sin, right? But be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think if we look at that scripture, we could safely say that the Word of God renews our mind. The Word of God strengthens and transforms our mind and helps us to understand what God's will is. So that when the tempter, Satan, comes to tempt us, we are able to discern the truth and stand on the truth by the power of God's Word that we have hidden within us. And the Word of God is able to help us to overcome temptation in the same way that Jesus used the Word of God to overcome temptation. Now, there was a woman who went shopping, and she bought a very expensive and extravagant dress. When she came home, she showed it to her husband, and he said, "Wow," he looked at the price tag. "Wow, that is really extravagant," he said. And she said, "Well, I know, but the devil made me buy it." The husband said, "Why didn't you say, 'Get behind me, Satan'?" And she said, "Well, I did. And he told me it looked as good in the back as it did in the front. So I bought it." Apparently, she did not understand the power of the Word of God. Here's our third response. The third response is we can overcome temptation with the Spirit of God. So we have the power of God, we have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. Let me give you a scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature," here you go, "having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." That evil desire and temptation, those are cousins to each other. They all always end up in the same place, okay? The point is, His divine power is what? Somebody. Yeah, it gives us everything we need. Everything we need. His Holy Spirit provides everything we need to overcome temptation and sin. God's Spirit allows us to live lives that are holy and pleasing to Him. His Spirit empowers us to overcome temptation. Now, I have this shortened a little bit, but I want to share the most important parts. Okay, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." What does that mean? You'll be overcoming temptation. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other, so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And my friends, that includes the part where we are tempted by our own evil desires, and by the great tempter to fall into sin. The long and short of it is, we're tempted to sin, but we don't have to sin. When we choose to, when we do sin, it's because we made the choice to sin. We chose to do it. We didn't have to. Because we have the arsenal that we need to be able to overcome temptation and sin. We have God's power, we have God's word, and we have God's spirit. There was once a beautiful Victorian home, and it was located in the historic district in a New England town. Unfortunately, it was left abandoned for many years, and it became the home of more than 20,000 bats. The locals referred to this stately mansion as the Bat House. The worst part of it was the smell. After years of animal urine and decaying, the place reeked. The vacant house became filled with all kinds of creatures, and the dwelling was eventually destroyed. How does that apply to us? Decay and destruction can also occur in our lives. If we abandon the principles of the Word of God, if we ignore the leading and the wooing of the Holy Spirit, our lives will begin to decay. Temptation will lead to sin. But the Bible teaches us that if we are filled with the Spirit, there is no room for temptation and sin to move in. And we overcome temptation when we are filled with, or in other words, controlled by the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit. And so you may ask the question, how can I overcome temptation? We are bombarded with temptation every day. But my friends, we can be victorious. We have been equipped by God to be able to resist temptation and sin. First, we overcome by the power of God. God promises us that when we are backed against the wall, when the father of lies, the great tempter, has us backed up against the wall, that God will provide a way of escape. And we need to always look for that way out. And then use that way out. Right? Not ignore it. We overcome temptation with the Word of God. Knowing the truth of what God says in His Word. Satan is a great deceiver. And he will twist the Word of God just the way, in the same way that he twisted that Word of God with Eve. And it's important for us to know the Word of God and to be in the Word of God and understand the Word of God. And that Word of God also comes to us with great power. And so when we are able in our minds to quote the Word of God or through our lips to speak the Word of God, there is a dynamic power. And it usually sets the enemy running, right? As we resist the devil, he will flee from us. He can't stand the truth. Talk about the Trinity when he's coming at you and see how long he stays, okay? And then lastly, we overcome temptation by the Spirit of God. When we trust Christ as our Savior, His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And we can allow His Spirit to have control. Not be walking in our flesh, but be filled or controlled by His Spirit. And it is by His Spirit that we can overcome temptation. Peter says that we have His divine power that we can overcome all temptation and sin. We do not need to sin. We can be victorious over temptation. And we can gain victory by following God's plan. So based on this study, how would you answer the question, how can I overcome temptation? Now, you have the answers. You have three strategic ways to overcome. And so what is your plan? How will you do what the Word of God says and be victorious? Let's pray. Father, we realize that it all sounds so easy. And yet we know, if we're honest with ourselves, that there are times that we feel that we are backed against the wall, that the enemy is telling us and whispering lies to us and convincing us to act in ways that are truly displeasing to you. We thank you that you have not left us powerless. We thank you that you have not left us on our own. And that by your word you have given us the example and you have given us the understanding of truth. And so, Lord, I would pray that every one of us would learn. Every one of us would learn to resist temptation, to resist the evil, sinful cravings of our flesh, that we would be able to even stand against the great deceiver, Satan. That we would do it through your power, through the power of God. That we would have your word immersed in our lives, that we would know the truth, and Lord, upon that word, we would be able to respond. And that we would also be filled by your Spirit. And that by your Spirit that lives inside of us, we would live by the Spirit. And Lord, we would again be victorious. Lord, I know that when we fail, that ultimately the devil shames us and makes us feel guilty and beyond your grace. We're grateful today, Lord, that we know that your grace is sufficient. That when we fail and when we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and you will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And even as we learned last week, the only sin that you will not forgive is the sin of rejecting the power of your Spirit in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would just again help us to claim the victory that is ours. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.